So today is the 26th of December 2019, the fourth day of Chanukah, Thursday. So we are up to, Musar Day of the eighth parak of Devarim, the eighth chapter of Devarim, Parshas Akev. So Parshas Akev includes within it the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. We spoke about the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon yesterday, the Zoraisa aspect of it. And when things about it, it's a little bit out of place over the course of this parak, that there's a mitzvah in a... We usually divide the Torah up into law sections and narrative sections. This is sort of like a Musar section. Moshe, I guess it would be the narrative. This is the description of what Moshe was saying over to the Jewish people. But the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, if one thinks about this entire parak, it is all within the context of food. It's all within the context of you do all the mitzvahs, you're going to get food, and then you're going to thank Hashem. And the end of the parak then is, and when things become really good for you, you're going to get into trouble because you're going to forget Hashem. And the way to avoid that, I guess, is to be in constant recognition of the presence of Hashem. So pick up on a few. So parak is really about emunah. It's really about faith. It's really about maintaining one's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite, I wouldn't say adversity, rather despite what's the opposite of adversity? Fortunate comings. despite when good things happen. So there is a couple of pieces that sort of reflect this idea. So in the Sefer Or HaTzafon was a collection of the, I don't know, the writings or the Musar Shmuzin of the Altar of Slobodka of Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Yemamare Musar, the statements of Musar. I'm not sure he read it or wrote it, but it was the things that are coming from him. So he picks up on this pasuk, v'zacharta es kol haderech, and pasuk beis, v'zacharta es kol haderech, asher olichecha Hashem elokecha zer b'mshana b'midbar, l'man anuschal anasu uschal adas, asher olichecha tishmar mitzvah v'ilu, that you're going to remember the way where you went, and Hashem tested you and afflicted you to know if you were going to maintain his mitzvahs or not. So what was the test and what was the afflictions that's being described in this parak? A little unclear, because how would we describe it when we think about the trials and tribulations of the Jewish people? So we think about various periods of their existence. We don't really think about the time in the Midbar as being a period of trial and tribulations, right? The time in the Midbar was what? Was, I don't know, things were taken care of. It was almost like a Gan Eden on earth. They had their food was coming every day, and their laundry was taken care of, as is described in this parak, and the clothing grew with them. Everything, and they were sitting and going to first Seder every day and second Seder every afternoon, and everything seemed to be wonderful. So what was so what exactly is being described as the test? And in fact, the author of Slobodka describes it as very tamuamu flema darmaz. It's strange. Okay, talking shachar called tanugim v'hamadanim shehayu lisol b'midbar shenepach lahem legan eden mamish. They had all these enjoyable things in the midbar, which turned it into gan eden. Roa bezeh haTorah inoy v'rav. And yet the Torah sees within this inoy and rav, and the difficulties and famine. So how do we understand that? So he says that despite all of the good things that they had coming to them and the fact that everything was taken care of, was the mon, etc., there is a small problem, and what is that? Umahi had the imus, chad amar, and then he gives two things that were lacking for them in the midbar. So chad amar einu dom mishayishlo pas besal, mishayinlo pas besala. What does that mean? One cannot compare a person who has bread in their basket to a person who does not have bread in their basket. Meaning what? That, yes, it's very good that they had mun today, but they didn't have no guarantee, other than Hashem's word, that they were going to be getting mun tomorrow. That ve'ilu heim lo ayah lehem pas besalam ve'ochel hayom v'doeg l'machar. That they're going to eat today, but they're going to be nervous for the next day. So that's one position. If yes, everything was taken care of, but that might have been by design that it was done this way, but they did not have the security of, oh yeah, not only am I taken care of today, but I'm taken care of for a while. So that's number one. And then the other position is Einu dor mishem roa v'ochel l'misha einu roa v'ochel. What is that? There's no comparison between a person who can see what they're eating versus what a person can't see what they're eating. And he's driving at the idea that yes, it's true that the man may have been able to taste all the things that he wanted to do, but you're not able to see it that way. That it was lacking. And perhaps more than that, I was thinking like, well, okay, so what's like so terrible about that? I'm going to call that Rav v'Inui and Rav. That they can't, alright, so they could, it could taste like steak, they could perhaps have the texture of steak, but we're not going to, it's just not going to look like steak. Alright, it's not like Inui and Rav, it's not so great, but it's not Inui and Rav, so what's the Inui and Rav there? So perhaps it is the, maybe also referring to the constant reminder that you're not doing it yourself. That it's all coming from Hashem, that your effort is not going into it. Now perhaps that we could extend that idea to everything else as well, that might be a good thing. But the challenge of recognizing that I'm not really contributing to this, it's not really what I'm doing, so that perhaps is part of the challenge that they had to confront while they were in the desert. In fact, he points out that there is a medrash that seems to say this explicitly. The Gemara says this explicitly. That the Gemara says, it's an interesting case, the Gemara actually raises a question. It's a shaila about Dam Nevela. What is Dam Nevela? The Gemara at the end of Menachos, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, at the bottom of the page. So it says that Dam Nevela is, when they would blood of an animal that was killed not by Shechting. Right? Rude. So they would, what?
Rude.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure this applies to non-kosher animals. Is the veil of life? I forget. But yeah, okay, roadkill. So they would measure, the Gemara says, they would measure the amount of blood that came out, because if it was a revias of dam, so then it would be, so then that would be metame. So they would have to measure to see how much blood was there in order to see if the blood itself, not the animal, but the blood itself was going to cause tuma. So the Gemara asks, hey, wait a second, we have there's a story that is told of these people that were on their way doing Aliyah L'Regel. They were on their way up to Yerushalayim for one of the Shalosh Regalim, and they came across this area where the non-Jews were slaughtering all sorts of animals. And the only way they could not get by it without walking like knee deep into the blood that was coming from these animals. So the Gemara comments, yeah, it was very nice that they were knee deep in that blood, but they came anyways to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, well, and what do you see that they don't seem to have been concerned for? They didn't seem to be concerned for that they were tamed. Right, there's no comment mention of the fact that they were tummy because they came into contact with that blood. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. So which one is it? Is it metame or is it not? So the Amora, so that was a question on the person who made the original statement. I should have brought the Gemara with me. That was a question on who brought the original statement. So they say to the person who was asked the question, so what did you answer? So he says, gosh, I didn't have a great answer because I'm so poor. and then it goes on to describe this pasuk. It quotes a pasuk from later on in Devarim, that your life is hanging, and you have fear during the day and the night, and you don't have faith in your life. And Rabbi Chanun makes a comment of, that's talking about a person who gets their grain every year, meaning he only has enough grain to get him through the year. Is afraid both day and night. That's a person who gets their food on a weekly ration. That's referring to a person who relies on the palter. What is the palter? Palter is the baker, right? It comes up in kashrus, right? Pas palter, we've heard that term, right? That's bread that comes from a baker. So, I mean, that's what does that mean? That means that you're relying on either the generosity of the baker or the work of the baker. I mean, if a person needs to get their bagel every day for breakfast, and then Nick decides to close for one day, so you're in trouble that day. Gosh, I don't have a bagel for that day. So that's a constant fear of what's going to be the next day. So he says, that's a strange klal. I mean, that's described as a curse. What's the curse? So it's a curse that he only has his food taken care of a week at a time or a year at a time. I mean, how is that considered a curse? So he responds by saying, yeah, that's that one of the things that people want to have is not just the idea that they're eating, but also the idea that they have security that they will be eating. And even if a person knows that in a month or in a year or a week my supply is going to run out, so that itself is enough to cause existential concern, existential fear that a person might have. In fact, he goes on and quotes one more Divrei Chazal, Pasuk Medrash from Eicha, that where it makes a similar type of comment. That idea is, and it says at the end, "V'lo tamin b'chayacha," the same pasuk, "Zeshu lokeh." Actually shifts it. The Gemara quotes the same pasuk, and it shifts it. It says a person tuluyim lochami neged zeshu lokeh lochitim l'shalosh shanim. That's referring to a person who has enough wheat for 3 years. That's only a person who has for 1 year. That's a person who takes a weekly allowance. So the Gemara asks, well, what about the guy who takes from the baker? What is he? What kind of curse is he? So Amar Lehem says, no, lo dibra Torah b'mesin. The Torah doesn't speak about dead people. I mean, a person who has to go every day in order to get his allotment from that day and doesn't know where his next day food is going to come from, so he's considered a mace. So even though he has what he needs, the fact that he's living in fear, that's already considered a concern. So that is how they open up this this parak, the idea of talking about all the mitzvahs that you're going to be commanded. You're going to remember that 40 days is that you were tested. How were you tested? That you didn't know what was coming. And yet you were able to still overcome that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu perceives that as part of as the test. What is the test? The test, of course, is, will a person have sufficient emunah? Will a person have sufficient faith? So then that theme then carries itself through into the V'yachalta V'savata U'virata Hashem El Kechel El Ars Asher Nasal Lach. So Rav Salvechik has an interesting, there's an essay here, this is Rabbi David Sefer, where he sort of collected something out of the one or two things the Rav said on every Parsha and put together in a Sefer by the Parsha entitled Dorish Darash Yosef, the Drasha Discourses of the Rav. And he builds up the machlokas here. We talked yesterday about the mitzvah d'oraisa of benching, the biblical mitzvah. So what exactly is the biblical mitzvah? Is the biblical mitzvah to say the text that we say, or is it not to say the text that we say? So that's a machlokas we showed him. That yes, it's true that benching has to have the three components, but the fact that it's made up in that particular way, is that d'oraisa? Or is that perhaps what the Gemara calls, what we refer to as an asmachta? That's not necessarily the... Could a person say rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub, and as my eighth grade Rebbe once eloquently put it, and biyotze benching by just saying those words? So the Gemara, from reading the Gemara, it seems like the answer is no, because the Gemara seems to also require not just a praising for the food, but also a praising on having Eretz Yisrael. And that there will be a future to it as well. There, Amar Rabbi Malka, no, not that one. Where is it? Yeah, that's the Ramban. Who was in here? I thought it was here, but okay. Maybe the exact text is not, but that the first and the first it's hard to say that it's the rice if the first bracha was made by Moshe, the second one by Yeshua, and the third one by David and by Shlomo, and the fourth one by the Mishnas, by the people of the Mishnas. Anyway, so the way he divides it up is that the Rambam and the Ramban both hold that in theory one could be yotzi with rub the dub, thanks for the grub. That that's really the Ikar mitzvah, and the rest of it is only considered a rabbinic enhancement that perhaps could find sourcing within the Torah itself. And the Bali Tosfos, however, hold differently. The Bali Tosfos hold that no, that you need to have the first, second, and third bracha, Berchas Ha'aretz, and Bona Yerushalayim. All of that has to be part of the mitzvah. They ask, if that's the case, how do we understand the Gemara that seems to say that one could be yotze by only making the first by only saying the first bracha? I mean, a person who's at work and isn't permitted to take time away from his work. So the Gemara says he can only make say the first bracha of benching. Now, it's interesting. We probably hold that doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. I mean, nowadays the bosses will say, all right, you can have enough time for three brachas of benching. But the back in time of the Gemara, it seems that they would only say the first bracha. So he says that, yeah, that... that the that that's a din. I mean, the Tosfos answers that question by saying and going so far as saying that yeah, you do have to say all three brachos, and the Rabbanon came along and said that you have the right to nullify two of the brachos for the purposes of getting back to work. It's a pretty incredible statement. It's the Raisa, and the Rabbanon, it's not, we have other cases of this. It's like, you know, the Rabbanon coming along and saying, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos. Or don't bench lulav on Sukkos when it falls out on Shabbos. They said the same thing. Don't make the second two brachos of Birchas and Mazon, because we need to make sure you get back to work. It's a pretty incredible extension of that, but that's what Tosfos suggests. So the... So Rav Salvechik goes on and says that how do we understand the purpose of benching? So the way that he suggests that the Bali Tosfos understood it as being a bracha of thanksgiving, that we thank Hashem for all the things that were given to us. Now that I'm full, I'm happy, I'm good. So now I thank Hashem. He says the Rambam and the Ramban, they don't understand it that way. They understand it as a recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Plus and he raises a question. According to Tosfos' explanation, how exactly does it fit into the Parak? The Parak is all about the challenge of Bnei Yisrael recognizing things are coming from Hashem. It's not really about thanking Hashem. It's about the challenge of being with Hashem. And he adds in as well an interesting idea. The Rambam, in his beginning of when he lists off the mitzvos, if you go to... in the beginning of any section of the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah, so he lists off the mitzvos aseh that are going to be in that section. So we often just like glance over, you don't even think about it. But the Rambam himself wrote that. And if the Rambam wrote something specific there, he meant it. So the way the Rambam describes the benching, usually he just says, shalo lirtzach, right? Not to murder people. Not to, not much. But here is, mitzvos aseh min haTorah, Levarich achar achilas. Sorry, that's already the Rambam. Where is it? Mitzvos ase achas vihi levarich es Hashem hagadol vehakadosh achar achila. To bless the great and awesome name of Hashem after eating. Right, I would have said birchas hamazon. Right. What is this? Levarich es Hashem hagadol hakadosh achar achila. To bless the great and holy name after eating. So the Gemara goes on. So the Rav asks on the Bali Tosfos. He says, how do you understand, according to you, that's all idea of thanksgiving, how do you understand the Gemara that asks about a bracha rishona? The Gemara asks, I understand you have to make a bracha achrona, because it says, ve'achalta, you're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied, you're going to make a bracha. How do I know you have to make a bracha before you eat as well? The Gemara asks. So the Gemara answers, anybody know? Anybody know what is the Gemara's answer to that question? The Gemara says, well, we'll make a kal v'chomer. That if a person has to thank Hashem, a person has to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he is full, how much more so he has to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's hungry. So, that's great, except according to Tosfos, it doesn't really... According to Tosfos said that it's a bracha of thanksgiving. If it's a bracha of thanksgiving, so the Kal V'Chomer doesn't make sense. Right? If I have to thank Hashem when I'm full, I have to give thanks to Hashem when I'm hungry, when I'm full, so how much more so do I have to thank Hashem when I'm hungry? Wait a second. It doesn't work that way, right? The Kal V'Chomer would work the opposite way. Beyond that, Rav Salvechik continues on and says that how do we understand? I'll get back to it in a second. So the Rav therefore explained that the Rambam must have held that the idea of benching is not a thanks of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, rather it's a recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's recognizing that what I've gotten is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then you have a very interesting idea of the Kal V'Chomer. If I have to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu when I have everything and I'm taken care of, how much more so do I have to thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or do I have to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu when I'm lacking things? And the truth is, that's on one hand we'd say, what do you mean? When I have everything, that's when I thank Hashem. That's when I do recognize Hashem. And the Rebbe is saying, no, that's not the way the human person works, right? When does a person daven with the most kavana? When they think they need something, or after they got something, when everything's taken care of, right? When you need something, right? Hashem is going to get it for me. He hasn't got it for me yet. And he said, no, that's what a person thinks. We recognize Hashem more when we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we're looking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that explains the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer is, if we have a mitzvah to recognize Hashem when I have everything, how much more so do I recognize the need for Hashem when I am lacking things? Now, I'm sure this question is asked. I just didn't have a chance to find the answer to it. A Kal V'chomer is actually a methodology for figuring out Dine D'oraisa. Right? Kal V'chomer's work on a D'oraisa level. So why would I not say that Bracha Rishona is a Din D'oraisa? Right, just wondering about that. I mean, right, if that's really a Kal V'chomer, so then Kal V'chomer, so then I should, if I'm obligated afterwards on a D'oraisa level to thank Hashem, I should be obligated before it as well. So I don't know, I'm not sure what the answer is to that. But that goes on and explains the Gemara. We mentioned it yesterday, and here I have it inside. Darsh Rav Avira, the Gemara tells the Maseches Brachos. The Malachim said in front of Hashem, that it says that you're not allowed to show any favor. And yet, what do? Hashem, you show favor, right? You respond to the Jewish people when they give you things. The Malachim Asharis ask Hashem. So Amar Lahem, Hashem responds, V'chilo esa panim liYisrael. What, I shouldn't turn my face to the Jewish people? Shekasati lahem b'Torah, I wrote in the Torah, v'achalta v'savata v'rachta Hashem elokecha, that they should eat and they should be satiated and they should bless Hashem. When they're full, v'heimedakti malatzman ad kezayis v'ad kebeitza. And they're strict about themselves, and even if they only have a kezayis, or even if they only have a kebeitza, so they go ahead and do that bracha. So the Rav goes on and explains that Gemara as saying that that's what we get. I mean, it's not just saying praising the thing that we do; it's praising our attitude. That the Yiddisha Kayach, the strength of the Jewish people, is to praise Hashem even when we're not obligated to do so. We praise Hashem even when we have no temple, and even when the Yerushalayim is not yet built, and even if we only eat not enough for us to be full. Still, we find the strength to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu even amidst our suffering. Recognize the presence of Hashem, recognize the need to ask Hashem for things, and we also recognize the idea that that all that we have thus far is also only due to the kindness and goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then that goes on to, there's a piece here in the Sifsi Chaim, where he quotes also from the end of the parak, that which we were discussing before, that Hashem is the one who took us out, right? That how can we right? And the fear going forward that oyvei, what's going to be? The Gemara Maseches Yuma actually says with regards to the man that Hashem commanded that the man only come every day. And in fact, he asked, "Ki lulei ze hayutorim lachshor Hashem betuchim mizon ve'in tzarich lispal avakish al ka'al." So why the Gemara asks? So why did they not? Hashem commanded that Bnei Yisrael not keep the man from one day to the next. Right? But if it wasn't for that case, so we'd think, oh, I'm good. Meaning, I'm taken care of with regards to the man. I don't have to talk to Hashem. So Shal Tamid, the Gemara asks, Shalu Tamid of Rabbi Yuma Daf Ayin Vav Amar Aleph. Shalu Tamid of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mifnei Malu Yard Lehem Lishon Min Pan Pam Achas Bashana. Why didn't it just fall one time in a year? So Amar Lehi responds, Em Shalacha Mashal Madav Redomet, to compare to something, Lamelech Basar Redom, Sheishalo Ben Echad, Pasak Lom Zonuseha, Pam Achas Bashana. And he's going to give him his food once a year. So when did the son show up to say hi to his dad? Once a year. So he didn't recognize that he's really living from the kindness of the king every single day. So the king said, I'm going to give him food every day, and therefore the son had to come see the king every day. So to Bnei Yisrael, Mishiyishlo Arba V'Chamisha Banim, Hayadoeg V'Omer Shema Lo Yarad Manal Machar. That somebody had four or five kids, he would say, maybe man's not going to fall tomorrow. V'Nimsu, I would think he'd be concerned even if he had no kids, but V'Nimsu Kulam Mason Bravi, and they're all going to die. So nimzu kula kulcha mechuvanim es libam lavim shemashemaim. So therefore, they all focused their hearts towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Aydzehir gishu shechaseirim heim vakol talu b'Hashem. And by this, they're able to feel that they're lacking, and therefore, they're going to continue to make requests and daven to the Kodesh Baruch Hu every single day. We'll just conclude that there is a section here in the Chovos Halavavos. So the Chovos Halavavos, he has a section towards the end called the Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, in the third parak, he lists off he lists off different things that a person should do, one of them being the issue of tefillah. And he concludes that section by saying, V'yemru al echa min etzadikim shaya umar achar tefillah, so that it's said about one of the righteous people that he would say after he finished davening, Elokai lo nish'arti lamad lefanecha sichli b'pichti yus erki umid yadati b'gdu. Here, just read the English line. My God, I'm emboldened to stand before you not by ignorance of my own paltry stature and inadequate knowledge of your greatness and transcendence, for you're high and I'm low. Too low and really to ask you any questions or to offer to him or anything. Rather, the only thing that has emboldened me to think that I could come and daven to you and to exalt your name is my understanding of you and my grasp of your glory. Right? That I have the ability to recognize the things that you can do, that's what allows me to offer tefillahs. You know what is best for me and the ways in which I should be guided. I've informed you of my needs, not so as to call your attention to them, but that I may be conscious of my great need of you. Right? I list off my needs over the course of tefillah, not because I think you don't know what they are, but rather to remind me all the things that I'm getting, all the things that I need, and therefore also all the things that I'm getting. And if I should ask you in my ignorance for something that is not good for me, your exalted choice is better than my choice. And so I leave all my interests to your lasting determination and to eternal governance. As David, peace be upon him, said, God, my heart is not haughty, my eyes do not not raised high, I do not occupy myself with things too great and mysterious for me. Surely I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, my soul for me like a weaned child. So the same concept. When do we recognize Hashem? When we have everything or when we have nothing? And so he's suggesting when we have nothing or when we're lacking, that's when we recognize the gifts that we're having from Hashem. May we be able to be zocha also to fulfill the end of the parak, even when we do have all the things that we need, we still continue to recognize the greatness and goodwill of Hashem. All right, we'll stop here. Chag Sameach.